Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Good morning, and welcome to Score Values here on 670 The Score. I'm your host, Tyler Buterbaugh. And coming up on this week's show, I got the chance to sit down with Michael Bempa, the founder of Pinpoint Scholars Foundation and CEO of Pinpoint Precision Engineering. And he shared his mission with Pinpoint Scholars Foundation and how to give students every opportunity to pursue a career in STEM. And I also got a chance to sit down with Cameron Mattson. She's the manager of communication of the Greater Food Chicago Depository. And she shared their mission on how to prevent neighborhood hunger and how you can help the cause. Joining me now here on 670 The Score, Score Values, is Michael Bempa, founder of Pinpoint Scholars Foundation and CEO of Pinpoint Precision Engineering. Michael, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Tyler?
I'm doing great. Thank you again for joining me this morning. And I just want to start it off with, can you just share a little bit with myself and the listeners about the Pinpoint Scholars Foundation and what it is and just kind of what you are working to accomplish with it?
Yes. So thank you for having me on. Pinpoint Scholars Foundation it's something that I created. And it was birthed from my company, Pinpoint Precision Engineering. I own a engineering firm here based out of Chicago, Illinois, a full service engineering firm where, you know, we do large scale projects. We build bridges and roads and just different 5G infrastructure. And, you know, me, myself being a civil engineer, I didn't have the opportunity to really learn about all of these careers and these good opportunities growing up young. So Pinpoint Scholars Foundation, I created that really to provide access to the youth early on at an early age. So many times we only think of, you know, some things such as sports and entertainment, where we can go in and become really, really successful. But there are other careers that out there that's very profitable that I think young people should have access to early on.
I love that. And then I see that your motto is you can't be what you can't see. Can you explain a little more on what that means and just how it drives the mission of the foundation?
Absolutely. So growing up, you know, you're surrounded, you know, your environment is really what shape who you become and who you are. And I didn't see a lot of representation. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. I didn't see a lot of representation of, you know, what I would deem as success at the time. So it was really, you know, really hard to, you know, kind of figure things out and uncover, you know, these possibilities that's out here. But I went to college. I took a career exploration class. And that class was very important because it combined your hobbies with, you know, your skills, what you were strong at, the subjects you liked the most. And it gave me a few options, but civil engineering was one of them. And I did my research and I was like, man, this is totally me. So ran directly to the advisor. I said, hey, you know, I think I found the major. And, you know, the advisor, you know, really, just hit me with a punch in the gut by saying, you know, yeah, but that's a really tough major. And people with your background and from your community, they don't typically go into that field. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, most people don't go into the field because they don't know about it. So, you know, I just decided to continue to advocate and push forward, took all of the tough classes. Now I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state, in multiple states, and I own my own firm. But I couldn't have done all of that if I didn't, you know about you know, this particular career that's out here. So I created this foundation to make sure that the youth can see other things, other career fields and other opportunities as lucrative, and just expose them to as much as possible in the STEM fields.
Now, what kinds of programs and opportunities are you providing to help students build the skills and see themselves in STEM careers?
Yeah, so we have an engineering program. I'm a civil engineer, but STEM is so broad. And I, you know, a lot of times you go into these schools and they're really only teaching robotics and coding. But we're forgetting about, you know, the water treatment engineers. We're forgetting about civil engineering. We're forgetting about you name it, biochemical, so different types of programs. So we put together a program list that really encompasses all from the video arts, video engineering. We have financial literacy classes. We have drone piloting classes, entrepreneurship. We have project management and construction management classes, just an array of classes and diverse STEM fields that, you know, we want to expose the youth to so they can just pick what they like and, you know, hopefully pursue that career.
That's awesome. I love every bit of that. Now, you did mention just a bit ago that you did grow up in the Chicago South Side, Inglewood, to be exact. How did that background shape your vision for the foundation?
That background really helped me learn and understand, what's needed. It really, you know, that there oftentimes, you know, we talk about access, and, you know, there's so many good people living in communities across the state, across the country, that just don't have access. And, you know, that shaped me in a way where it made me tough. It really shaped my mentality of, hey, I need to really go out here and get it. You know, nothing's really going to just, you know, come to me. And with the right access and the right opportunities, you know, it's going to light that fire and, you know, it's going to motivate you to really go and really be the best that you can be. So growing up on the South Side, I'm so appreciative of my background. I'm appreciative of the community that I'm from. And, you know, I would just like to, you know, really just be a steward of change and be able to bring more opportunities to underserved communities across the state and across the country.
Michael Bempa, founder of Pinpoint Scholars Foundation and CEO of Pinpoint Precision Engineering, here with me on Score Values here on 670 The Score. Now, Michael, I wanted to ask, what was the turning point in your journey, the moment that you knew you wanted to build not just a company, but also a nonprofit to open doors for others?
Yeah, so I would say that turning point was not only not having opportunities, you know, when I'm young and, you know, I'm growing up, and I'm trying to find myself. Typically, a lot of young people, they go off to school. They still don't know what they want to be. And I was able to find this career, and there were more barriers I had to face and encounter. So many barriers, even to starting my business, so many barriers to access. So for me, you know, I said, hey, you know, we have to figure out ways to not only provide access, we have to, you know, create a seat at the table for individuals that's interested, whether it's in entrepreneurship, whether it's in engineering. You know, there's a great saying that, you know, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And I believe that so strongly that I decided to make sure I create Pinpoint Precision Engineering to provide opportunities, but also Pinpoint Scholars Foundation to really provide the access and education that's needed for those opportunities. So, you know, it's just my life journey. I'm I always run into obstacles because, you know, when people see you, they're going to, you know, they're going to prejudge and or underestimate you. But as long as you know who you are, you know your why you're doing these things, why you're here, you know, you have to fight through those things and, you know, you have to get to the point of success. And that's why I also I've written two books. One book is a financial literacy book. And the other book is How to Become a Civil Engineer. And in that book, I talk a lot about establishing your why early on, knowing who you are. So that way, you know, when you get knocked down, whether it's on the field of playing sports or whether it's in life, you have the tools to get back up and to keep pushing forth.
That's fantastic. I love that. Now, Michael, I wanted to ask real quick, kind of going backwards a little bit. Was there at any point that you felt discouraged from pursuing engineering? And if so, what kept you going and how does that experience influence how you mentor students currently today?
Oh, yes. So anyone that's in engineering would tell you that you're going to, you know, run up against a lot of setbacks and obstacles. And I think that's what makes that major so special, because you have to keep pushing through it. There's a lot of what we call weed out courses, because when you become an engineer, you realize that, you know, the first half of all the courses that, you know, you took, really, it's just preparing the mindset and preparing you for courses that's further down the line. That's a lot easier. But there's a lot of challenges. You're going to have the naysayers. You're going to have, you know, long days, tough classes, examination periods. You know, you're going to have, you know, just you're going to be tried in many ways and tested mentally. But you know, there is always, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel. The goal is to keep pushing through and, you know, like I mentioned before, understand why you're there. Look at the bigger picture and keep pushing towards that bigger picture. And, you know, regardless, you will be successful, God willing.
I love that. That is very moving. Now, Michael, representation in STEM is still very low, especially for African-American and Hispanic students. Why does closing that gap matter, not just for the individuals, but for society?
Yeah, it matters for society in multiple ways. But, you know, it goes back to if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. So once again, you know, it's very important to understand what's happening in your neighborhoods and in your community so it won't negatively affect you. But also, you know, if you traveled around the world and you see different people in different cultures, people have different ways of doing things. And, you know, even when I travel now, you know, I'm always looking at, you know, and I'm looking at the nerdiest things. I'm looking at the, you know, the placement of beams. I'm looking at, you know, the placement of signs. You know, people have different way of doing things, big and small. And in order to get the best product, you need everyone's input and everyone's point of view, because there's something that someone may be doing or that a particular community may be doing it. You know, you necessarily never thought of it that way because you was brought up in, you know, one environment, right? So it's very good to have people from multiple environments come together, put their ideas together and just create a great product so we can all enjoy it and it can be the most innovative, you know, advancement, technological advancement that we've seen. And, you know, to me, that's just the best way to do things.
Now, looking ahead, what is your vision for where the Pinpoint Scholars Foundation can go in the next 5 years?
Yeah, my vision is really for us to go nationally, if not internationally, really build out programs and, you know, even schools that focus on teaching the youth what they need now, right? Schooling has changed, society, life, our environment is changing quickly, but our curriculum is not keeping up with it, right? Finances is important. Understanding how to code, understanding all the, you know, this digital technology this age that we're living in is very important. So what, you know, my goal is for the foundation is to really give the youth what they need now and in the future to be successful, whether that's through programming. We want to provide scholarships for the youth that's interested in going into STEM related majors in college. And we just want to really support the youth in any way we can to keep up with the fast changing environment around them.
Michael Bempa, he is the founder of Pinpoint Scholars Foundation and CEO of Pinpoint Precision Engineering. I want to thank you for coming on with me this morning. But before I let you go, can you just share for the listeners who want to get involved, whether as mentors, partners, or supporters, what's the best way to connect with the foundation?
Yes, we would love for any and everyone to really figure out a way that they can connect and give back. Please visit psfcommunity.org. You can sign up to volunteer. You can donate. You can follow us on social media. We're launching a podcast next month to really talk about what we're trying to do and connect with the youth. At psfcommunity.org, you can, you know, find just different ways to engage with us. And you can also find us on social media at Pinpoint PE is our handle. So please, you know, we welcome everyone.
Michael Bempa, thank you again for joining me this morning and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you. Have a great one. Thank you for having me on.
Joining me now here on Score Values on 6-7 The Score is Cameron Mattson, Manager of Communications for Greater Chicago Food Depository. Cameron, good morning and thank you for joining me today.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate you kind of sitting with me today, and we have a lot of stuff to kind of cover, but I kind of want to just kind of, for the listeners that are unfamiliar, could you share exactly what does the Greater Chicago Food Depository do and what is the exact mission?
Wonderful. I love this. Yes. And it's great to just get grounded in who we are and what we do. We're a food bank. And I get not everyone understands what a food bank is. So we purchase food and also get food from government sources and from donations and food rescue from a lot of different places. And we have that in a warehouse. And we provide food to a network of more than 850 food pantries, soup kitchens, other organizations across Chicago and Cook County. So we don't actually distribute any food in our warehouse, but we, because we're buying so much food, we're able to get good prices, you know, bulk buying, and really be a centralized hub for all of that, and then work with this network to get food out throughout the whole area. So yeah, we're on a mission to end hunger, and we know that that's a big goal. So we know that it takes all these different hands working together to try to help make that happen.
I love that. And then before we kind of get into more into it, could you share just a little bit on the history of Greater Chicago Food Depository, just kind of as far as how it all started and just where it has grown to since then?
Yes, I love our story because it started with six different people in the Chicago community from different elements of the city, civic leader, faith leader, business owner, who realized there was a problem, realized that people in their neighbors, in their neighborhoods, in their communities didn't have enough food and didn't have access to food. And so they said, you know, alone we can't do anything about this, but together we have an opportunity to really make a difference. And so they started that was in 1979, and they started what is now the Greater Chicago Food Depository. And so we are honored to be part of carrying on that legacy of trying to make a difference for our neighbors and trying to make sure that everyone has access to the food they need to thrive.
That's amazing. And it just seems like it's just kind of getting bigger and bigger the longer you guys go. Now, this month is Hunger Action Month. Could you just share a little more on this mission particularly and then the partnership with the number of restaurants that you guys will have?
Yeah. So Hunger Action Month was actually started by Feeding America, which is our also we're part of their network of 200 food banks across the country. And so just a time to not just raise awareness. I really like that it's Hunger Action Month. So Hopefully we're all aware that hunger is an issue. And so that's an element of it, but it's Hunger Action Month. And so we're really encouraging people to do something to make a difference for neighbors who are experiencing food insecurity. And I think it's also important to note that food insecurity is not just somebody who's hungry, but somebody who just isn't sure where their next meal is coming from, doesn't know what they're going to put on the table to feed their family that night, and is not really sure where their forthcoming meals are coming from. And so it's kind of more systemic and ongoing. And so the fact that we have neighbors who are dealing with this is just, man, it doesn't seem right in this amazing city and this amazing country. And so this month is a especially good time to, if you haven't, you know, already join our movement to end hunger and get involved in a variety of different ways. So one of the things that you mentioned, our 86 Hunger Campaign is one of our kind of fun parts of Hunger Action Month, where more than 40 restaurants around the Chicago area have agreed to take part. And in the restaurant world, if you 86 something off the menu, it means that you're out of it. It's, you know, you've run out of that item. Nobody can order anymore. It's done. So 86ing hunger is what we want to do. We want to end that. So if you dine at any of these restaurants throughout this month, a portion of the proceeds of a specific dish will support the Greater Chicago Food Depository and our work to end hunger. And so it's a great way. We know people are eating out in Chicago. We're a great foodie city. And so doing something you do anyway helps support the movement to end hunger. And so that's just one of many ways that people can get involved this Hunger Action Month.
That's amazing. And like you said, like over like 42 restaurants have been partnered with you guys. And for future events or just overall in general, how could other more restaurant businesses get involved and kind of join with you guys at the Greater Chicago Food Depository?
Yeah, well, and what's awesome is that we have restaurants involved with us year round. Some will reach out to us and do partnerships in different times of the month. So different times of the year. And we're always looking for partners because, again, like I said, our goal is big, but it's if we all work together, we have an opportunity to make a real difference. And so we are always open to phone calls. There's places on our website where people, if they're interested in partnering with us and doing something with their business, we would love to talk to them. So, we are grateful for any partner that comes along, whether it's a volunteer, an advocate, or somebody who donates food from their farm or their business. You know, it's all important.
Cameron Mattson, Manager of Communications for Greater Chicago Food Depository, here with me on Score Values on 670 The Score. Now, Cameron, you kind of mentioned of just kind of like the state of food insecurity. What is the current state of food insecurity in the Chicago and Cook County areas?
Well, like you said, it's not great, and it's really unfortunate. So food insecurity remains high. Obviously, we all know that, you know, five years ago was COVID when that first dawned. And we saw just this huge epidemic of need in those first months where people were really food insecure, going without paychecks for a while. And obviously, that was a difficult time. 5 years later, our numbers are higher now than they were during the height of the pandemic. And so in the years since then, people have been dealing with inflation, rising cost of food, rising cost of rent, just everything is trending upward, and wages maybe haven't always kept pace. And so it's the gap is really difficult. And so we know that one in five households throughout the Greater Chicago area are dealing with food insecurity. And when you talk about households with children, it's one in four, because our children are that much more susceptible to food insecurity. And we're just not okay with these numbers. And so, again, this is why we invite anybody who's interested to be a part of this movement to really make a difference for our neighbors who need it.
No, absolutely. Like, everything about it is just a great cause. Like, no one should have to go home starving. So I kind of want to lean into, what is the Greater Chicago Food Depository's, what are you guys anticipating for the state of hunger for months to come?
Yeah, unfortunately there've been some, well, we all know the state of the economy and the job market and everything, like things are still, you know, tenuous and challenging. And as much as anybody can, look into a crystal ball, but, you know, and guess the future, indications are that, you know, it's not going to ease up real quickly. And also, one of the things that we're really concerned about is that there was a budget reconciliation bill that was passed federally in July that included some cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which is SNAP. Some people knew it in years past as food stamps. And so it's a super effective program, one of the frontline defenses against hunger in our country. And millions of, a couple million Illinois residents rely on this program for assistance. And there's going to be cuts to that in the coming months and years because of that bill that was passed. And so we are gravely concerned about what this is going to mean and that there's going to be even more need in the near future. And so, we're trying to sound the alarm about that, but also inviting anyone who needs assistance with accessing food to come to us, and anyone who can help. Again, we need that as well.
Now, we talked about the Hunger Month, Hunger Action Month that is currently going on right now. Do you have any more food banks coming up in the upcoming months?
Yeah, we always have things throughout the year. We always need volunteers at our warehouse. We talked about we buy food in bulk because we can get a good deal on that. We look to our volunteers to help us repack that bulk food into smaller family size packages. And so 5 days a week, every Tuesday through Saturday, we have the benefit of having volunteers from across the city come and help us repack that food. And we make it fun. We have like music and people get really involved. And what's awesome is that when you're doing something hands-on like that, you know that the food that you're touching is going to go on one of our trucks that day or the next day. And then it's going to go out in the community and probably wind up on a neighbor's table within the coming days. And it's going to be part of a solution and part of a help that's really important. And so we always need volunteers for that work. We definitely encourage people to contact their local food pantry and find out if they need assistance, because I know we're anticipating more guests attending our neighborhood pantries, but they're going to need more help to get the food out for these food distributions that they have. And then we also need advocates. Year round, we encourage people to raise their voices to encourage anti-hunger legislation, because we want to make sure that the people who are making decisions about laws and issues that impact our neighbors and their ability to access food, that they're hearing from the people who are impacted by these things, people who have firsthand experience with food insecurity, and that they hear from the rest of us who care about them and want to make sure that our neighbors are well taken care of. And so we are definitely have ways on our website that make it pretty easy to contact your local legislators and let them know that, hey, this is something that matters to us and that is of concern, and please support and go work against anti-hunger legislation.
Cameron Mattson, Manager of Communications for Greater Chicago Food Depository. I want to thank you again for joining me this morning. But before I let you go, can you just remind the listeners where they can exactly go to find more information, and as far as just kind of being, as well as participating or being a future partner for your guys' cause?
Yes, wonderful. I love this question. Yes, our website is chicagofoodbank.org. If you are somebody who is looking for food assistance, if you go there on the main page, there's a Find Food button. You click on that, put in your address, and you'll find different resources in your community. And so definitely use that. If you are somebody who can offer assistance, either as a volunteer, an advocate, a donor, you know, we welcome all of that. And there's plenty of opportunities on our website to do that as well. Or if you're a business owner and have a way to partner and make a difference, you can contact us through our website as well. So all of it matters and all of it makes a big difference, and we're grateful for all of it.
Cameron Mattson, thank you again for joining with me today and sharing on this great, wonderful cause of how people can really help the community.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to come on and really talk about this. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you again, Cameron.
Thank you.
And this will do it for this week's edition of Score Values here on 670 The Score. I want to thank Michael Bempa for sharing his mission with the Pinpoint Scholars Foundation to give students proper education to pursue an engineering career. And I want to thank Cameron Madsett for joining me, who shared the mission of the Great Chicago Food Depository and how you can help solve neighborhood hunger. If there's a topic you'd like to hear about on a future edition of our show, or if you'd like to share information about an upcoming charitable event, send us an email at scorevalues670@gmail.com. That is scorevalues670@gmail.com. Again, I'm Tyler Buterbaugh, and thanks for listening to this week's edition of Score Values here on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.